Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, hello, welcome. I'm Rita Hauk-Lane, your host for the next hour, and I thank you for joining me as we seek a deeper and more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And I pray that the Lord will bless us richly in our time together. I'm going to ask you to be a little patient with me today. Today's been a tough day for me. I had a funeral earlier, and everything I tried to do in preparation for the show just wasn't working. My computer went blah, blah. I couldn't save it. I couldn't print. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. And so I'm a little, I don't have my materials with me. So I'm going to try my best by the grace of God to share with you some of the things that he laid on my heart for you to hear today. I have to say, I'm a big lover of snow, so I'm really happy about the snow that we got over the weekend. I know a lot of you probably aren't, but I am. I was out at Malvern Retreat House for a retreat from Friday evening till midday yesterday, and of course it was snowing part of that time, and it was a beautiful winter wonderland. If you've ever been to Malvern, just imagine it covered with snow. And it was the type of snow that clings to the branches of the trees. It's a little wet, but not too bad, not too heavy. And it was like a miracle to me. It was just so beautiful. It was stunning. But it was a really remarkable retreat. It was a retreat with Father Blunt and Kathleen McCarthy. Kathleen McCarthy, as most of you know, is the president of this network. She wears many hats, but one of the hats that she wears is she has a healing ministry, and so does Father Blunt, but he's also an exorcist priest. So whenever they're together, it's a powerhouse retreat, because it's very obvious to me that they have been given their gifts and skills for such a time as this. And when you go and you listen to them and you learn from them, it makes a big difference in your everyday life. And so I'm very, very grateful that I was able to do that. And if you were there, I think you probably agree with me, it was pretty spectacular. Simple. No fireworks and all that sort of thing, but really simple and beautiful and down to earth and informative. And if I got to meet a lot of you, and it was really a wonderful experience for me. And I thank you for your kindness and the joy that we had when we were meeting each other and hanging out together. And I'll mention some of you by name. There's so many people I met. I couldn't keep up with all the names. But it was a real joy, whether I say your name or not. Later, it was a real joy for me to meet each and every one of you that I did. And to just watch and pray for you as we were dealing with all the different things that were brought up during the retreat. But I did want to try to share a few things with you. And I hope I'll be able to do it well without my notes and everything, but I scribbled down some things that I had prepared at home to share with you. And I just hope that I can do it justice, because, you know, it's funny. People are always saying, you know, please come and share with me what you learned at the retreat. Well, and I'm glad to do that. To a degree. I mean, there's only so much. I mean, it was basically two solid days of retreat when you add up all the hours. But Yeah, and it's impossible to put that all down in words. I mean, even if I took, I did take notes, and even if you read my notes, it's inadequate. You have to be there. I just have to really encourage you. Last week I talked to you about these young people, young adults who are coming into the church, who are seeking God, and they're seeking them through Jesus Christ. And a number of them have said that they, in their curiosity, started going to retreats, and the retreats solidified so much for them. And I just want to encourage you, I've said this before, retreats are invaluable in the Christian life. And in for times such as this, they are essential as far as I'm concerned. And so I'm just hoping that there's more of them for us in the future. And perhaps, you know, there's something I could do with a team where we would all be helping with retreats. I don't know. But anyway, Father Blunt, he and Kathleen both are world famous. They do a lot of retreats together and separately. He's a very dynamic, joy-filled priest. And he's the first one that I heard say that exorcist priests are the most joyful priests in the world. And he went on to say, this was years ago, and he went on to say that, you know, they get together, I don't know how often, but at least once a year in Rome to have little, almost kind of convention meeting kind of thing where they're all together and they discern things and share and strengthen each other. And he said that the room is full of joy-filled priests because they have done battle against the evil one, and they know his limits. They know that Jesus is the victor, that Jesus has destroyed them already in his own kind of way. And so they experience that all the time, and because they're doing battle with the evil one, and they have the weapons, and the Lord, who has conquered the evil one, and they're full of joy, and he's very full of joy, and it's sincere, and it's nice to see, you know, in this day and age. So anyway, I wanted to share a couple of things. I'm not going to go into a lot of details, because, like I said, I don't have all my notes, and the notes I do have are not very organized right now, because I was expecting to have my typed up presentation. So anyway, one of the things that Father Blunt speaks of often and quite in depth is Our Lady, Mama Mary, as he calls her, and I'm going to start calling her that too, Mary the Mother of Jesus. She is a very powerful prayer intercessor for the people of the world, especially for believers. And he knows firsthand how much power the Lord has given her through her prayers and her ability to, you know, convince him to pour out graces on the world. Because when her name is mentioned during an exorcism or any kind of deliverance situation, the evil ones really go crazy. They scream out, "Don't mention that name. Get away from me. Leave. Don't talk about her to me. I hate her. I hate her. I hate her." Because she is, you know, the Lord's mother. And she is in heaven, but she was a human being. And these demons used to be high-ranking angels, and they were a little higher than us in the creation chain. And when the Lord, it's a theory is that when the Lord shared with the angels that he was going to become man through a human being and come down to earth, to be with human beings. The Satan and his evil ones rebelled against the idea that a human being, a woman, would be used by God to bring his son into the world, and they would have to serve Jesus as a human being, the son of a human being, and reverence this woman who was going to be the mother of Jesus. It was just, they couldn't stand the idea of reverencing and helping a human being who was below them. So they rebelled, and they were cast out. You know, Saint Michael battled with them. I'm not sure how the battle was, but it was a battle of some sort, and they were tossed out of heaven and down to earth for a temporary time. So Father Blunt talks all the time about Our Lady and the power that we have through the Holy Rosary, praying it, meditating upon it, using it. He mentioned about Padre Pio. Padre Pio would hold up a rosary and say, this is the weapon. This is the weapon. The rosary is, this is the weapon for spiritual battle and for graces to be poured out on situations and people. It is a tremendous gift to us. Okay, and so Father Blunt was talking about, well, and Padre Pio is not the only saint who has taught about how essential the rosary is in bringing grace into the world and for ourselves as well. And so anyway, he said that if you pray the rosary every day, you will be prepared for whatever comes in your life in the future, and whatever comes in the world in the future. If you pray the rosary, it will have that much of an effect on you. And for those of you out there who don't really understand about the rosary is a meditative type of prayer. You meditate on the events in Jesus's life, and a couple of them from Mary's life, basically kind of from her perspective, but it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's scriptural. It's the Bible in a prayer form. And so when you meditate on that, you are entering into the life of Jesus along with his mother. And I look at, you know, you, when we repeat the Hail Mary, you know, for there's 5 decades and 10 Hail Marys in each decade. And so you say the Hail Mary, which is from Scripture. The Hail Mary is a combination of Scriptures put together to make a little prayer. And I look at the Hail Marys as kind of like a giving her a rose, a deposit that obtains graces. It's the interest on the deposit. It's not that crude, and it's not that worldly, but it helps me to understand that the more Hail Marys and the more rosaries I pray, the more I've put in the bank of love, of prayer, and grace for the world and for the needs of myself and the people I love. And that those things are distributed over time. So I love the rosary. But he said, you know, Father Blunt said, pray the rosary every day and you will be prepared for whatever comes your way or whatever comes in the world. He mentioned that that we're in pretty dire straits in the world right now. And I don't think I have to point that out to you. I think you're intelligent enough to see that there's a lot of you know, unrest and anger and challenges and all sorts of things going on in the world right now in a kind of magnified way. And So it can really get to you sometimes. So if you pray the rosary, it's a very calming, peace-giving prayer. And if you aren't Catholic, you are very, very welcome to pray the rosary. It is a Christian prayer. It's not just a Catholic Christian prayer. It's a Christian prayer. It's for everybody. And so go online and Google how to pray the rosary and learn from that. There are, believe it or not, you might not see it, but there are a lot of non-Catholic Christians around the world who are not Catholic, who are praying the rosary now because they know the benefits of it, the peace it gives, and the joy that comes from praying this wonderful prayer. Excuse me. Anyway, Father Blunt said he wanted to encourage us in these difficult times to pray five extra intentions, for one for each decade when we pray the rosary. And I know a lot of you didn't get to go to the retreat and you love Father Blunt, so I'm going to share them with you. Okay? You can mix them up however you want, but these are the intentions for each decade. The first one is pray for the gift of prayer. Prayer is essential in today's world. As a Christian, we have to pray. If we aren't praying, we are depriving the world, our loved ones, and ourselves from extraordinary grace that God holds in his hands to give to us. But he will not force it on us. But when we ask for it, wow, like opening a hatch door and out it comes. So to pray is essential, always has been, but it especially is now. So he says, pray for the gift of prayer. If you don't feel like praying, you don't enjoy praying, or whatever, don't want to pray, ask God and Mary to teach you how to pray and to obtain a great love for prayer in your heart. The second one is for the grace of joy, which is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. He said that joy will be the key to these days. Joy will be the key to these days. I am, thank God, a very joyful person. I learned a long time ago that you can choose to see the good, to open your heart and your mind to listen and to see God's work in the world and in your own life, to open your heart to him and receive whatever he wants you to have, which is always good. And when you do that, joy abounds. That doesn't mean you don't have problems. That doesn't mean you don't have challenges. Good Lord, today was one of them for me. But it gives you such joy. But if you don't have that grace of joy, the fruit of the Spirit of joy, pray for it, he said. Pray for that grace. You need it in this day and time. And when we're joyful, other people become joyful. Okay? And so that's the second one. First one was pray for the gift of prayer. Second one is pray for the grace of joy. The third one was pray for an attitude of gratitude. He says be grateful for everything. Everything, no matter what. No matter what comes. No matter what you're going through, be grateful for it. Because all things work for the good to those who love Jesus. All things work. Even the horrible things, even the tough things. He can bring great beauty out of that horror. And St. Paul said, in everything give thanks. Everything. And, you know, when you're younger, you can't understand that, or younger in your faith life. But as you get older, you start to realize that making a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of gratitude, because you believe His word when He says all things will work for good for you. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. There's hundreds of scriptures in the Bible that talk about the benefits that He wants to give us and how He will rescue us, how He will lift us up. He will be our strength. He will be our rock. So when tough times come, we can say, thank you, Lord. And I said it today. Thank you that I'm going through a difficult day because I know you're going to turn something good in out of it. And it will, if nothing, it'll help me to trust you more when I feel inadequate. And you know what? It's working because I can trust Him. He promised, and He always keeps His promises. So pray for the grace of joy. Pray for gratitude in every situation. And if you pray for it, He will give it to you. Number four, pray a decade to love God with your whole heart. We Christians love Him to one degree or another. But Father Plunt said, don't be mediocre. Go all in. Ask Him, pray for Him to give you the grace to love Him with your whole heart. He's the most important part of your life. Without Him, we are nothing. We can do nothing. We would die on the spot. So pray for the grace to love Him with your whole heart. Wholehearted. Wholehearted. And number five, last but not least, is to pray for purity and innocence. Basically, purity is to be able to walk away from sin, to not commit sins, especially the serious sins. We all sin. But if we pray for more purity and more desire to reject sin, that's always good for us, and it's good for the world, too. It's good for our families. It's good for everyone. If we are deeply united with the Lord because we sin infrequently instead of frequently, there's a lot of grace in that. And innocence. Innocence is basically having a clean conscience. If we're trying to be all that He wants us to be, there's a certain innocence in that, a clean consciousness. So that's it. Pray a decade for the gift of prayer. Pray a decade for the grace of joy. Pray a decade for the grace of having gratitude in all situations. A decade to love God with our whole hearts. And a decade for innocence and purity. Okay, so that's what he talked about. Amongst many, many other things over that 2 days. And so I wanted to share that with you. And let me look at my notes and make sure that there's... he said you should say to God every day, more than once, I love you, I love you, I love you. 3 times, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I love you, I love you, I love you. Even if you don't feel like it, offer that as a prayer to the Lord. I love you. I love you. I love you. And there's nothing wrong with that. Let's see. He said, again, speaking about the rosary, if you have a Hail Mary, you have a miracle. The moment you get on your knees, hit the floor, praying the rosary, miracles can happen. When some of us can't kneel, but the minute you pick up your rosary and you start praying that rosary, in general or for specific intentions, miracles can happen. He sees it all the time. And so he knows it. And a lot of us who've been praying it a long time have seen it too. So miracles can happen by praying the rosary, by praying, period. Why do you think God has asked us to pray? Why do you think Jesus showed us to pray? Because it has power. I've heard it from many saints. Prayer is the most powerful thing in the world. In the world. Okay? And then, let's see. He said, pray to Jesus and ask Jesus to give you Mary's faith, hope, and love. If you go back and you really ponder the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, the amount of faith, hope, and love for God that she had to have had to be enormous. Enormous. And so he said, pray, ask Jesus to give you Mary's type and depth of faith, hope, and love. And then say, let me love Mary with your love, God's love. You know, he mentioned it, I've heard it before, but, you know, some Protestants think, or non-Catholic Christians think that we worship her, we're putting her instead of Jesus, but we really just love her because Jesus loved her. And we can never love her more than Jesus did. And you know how it is when somebody admires your parents. You know, it makes you feel good. You don't feel threatened by that. So, let me love Mary with your love. Okay? So, anyway, I'm going to have to take a break in a minute. And I'll share with you some more of things he said. I can't share everything. I'm sorry. There were so many wonderful things. And, of course, Kathleen, too. And I'm sorry I just can't share them all with you, but I'll be back in a minute. God bless you, and hang in there for a moment.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Hello, I'm Rita Halk Lane. Welcome back. I'm the host for the next half hour. The last half hour, I've been sharing some of the things that I experienced at the wonderful retreat at Malvern Retreat House over the weekend. And as I said before, I'm trying to, I'm asking you to pray for me and to be patient with me. The evil one was very busy working on me today, frustrating me, making my computer go crazy. I was running late to get here. I ran out of the house without my materials. So here I am, I'm winging it, but the Lord is good. It's not about me, it's about you. And so he inspires me when I need to hear something. And so, Father Blunt spoke, and so did Kathleen, but one of the things he spoke about He spoke a lot about Our Lady and the Rosary and the power that he, being an exorcist priest, has seen firsthand of the power Our Lady has and the Holy Rosary has over the evil one. The evil one hates her, cannot stand the Rosary. So when people start praying the Rosary, the evil one flees, actually runs away. So anytime something's challenging you or whatever, pray the Rosary. But he says, you know, if you, and also I said in the last hour, pray the Rosary every day and you will be prepared for whatever comes in your life and whatever comes our way in the world. And he also said, he also told us about how if you are working on a project at work, or you're in school, or you're preparing for a radio program, anything that you're doing that you're having to do some preparation for, or in the midst of what you're doing, take a moment and pray a decade of the Rosary. Just a quick decade, asking for grace to fill the situation, the work you're doing, whatever you're in the midst of, that grace, extraordinary grace, will fill that time. And so, you know, and he told us about an experience he had in his life where instead of being all stressed out, he would take a break every once in a while and he'd pray a decade of the Rosary. Then he would go back to what he was doing. Then he would break and pray a decade of the Rosary. Well, you know what? He was right. He was right. I really, really want to encourage you to do that. Even if you're under the gun time-wise, take that moment. Take a moment. It doesn't take long to pray a decade of the Rosary. Try it. I tried it today in the midst of the craziness where I really didn't have time to do that. Wow, what a difference it made. What a difference. You see, the Lord gives us tools. And like he gave me this information at the retreat, I had never heard to do that. And so I took that, and today, in the midst of my frustration and challenges and stuff, I decided to trust it. I decided to try it. And you know what? It was remarkably good for me. Remarkably good for me. So I want to encourage you to do the same. Please, please, obtain for yourself the graces. Extraordinary grace. God is always pouring graces out on the world. But he waits for us to ask for the extraordinary grace. So, and especially if we're asking through Our Lady. Through Our Lady. Anyway, so pray a rosary decade intermittently throughout our day, throughout the work we're doing, and especially in challenging times. And let's see. All right. There was so much he talked about. I just can't do it all. So anyway, let's move on to Kathleen. She's talked about so many things. She is such a gift. Such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful friend and gift. And she has been through so much in her life. She's just a marvelous witness of somebody who has just laid herself down in front of the Lord and said, Lord, I'm all yours. I'm all yours. Use me for others. I know you'll take care of me no matter what. Use me for others. That's what she lives for. And so she said that people ask her, you know, how did you, you know, you became a widow when your youngest of 12 children was just a few months old. How did you survive? Your house burned when when your children were young, how did you get through that? How can you be so faith-filled? You know, she has such a witness, such a witness. And I love her very much. Love you, Kathleen. But she talked about, people say, how did you end up with 12 children, their spouses, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren who are all in the church, faithful to the church, faithful to the Lord, true believers, who work for the Lord, live for the Lord, and have not, you know, lost their faith. You know, she said they were just like everybody else's kids when they were young, and you know, they had their moments, but today they're all faithful. And she says there's two things that she highly recommends to all of us for ourselves and for our homes and for our children. And one was to, it's called the essential, it's the enthronement of, enthronement of an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in your home. And I want to recommend to you the, if you just be patient with me, I had all this stuff already prepared, and of course, I don't have it with me. It's called The Enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in Your Home. The Enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the Home. Now, enthronement. What is a throne? It's a king's seat. So what we do when we enthrone our home, you know, Jesus has revealed throughout the ages that his heart is on fire with love, is burning with love for humanity, for you and for me and for everyone. His heart is on fire with love for us. And he wants us to respond to that. He wants to love us. He wants us to love him back. A mutual affection for each other. And so when you have, you can get an image. There's beautiful images, icons, paintings, sketches even, of these pictures that have this. You'll see it. Even when I was a little girl, my grandmother, who wasn't Catholic, had one in her bedroom. And he usually, it's a picture of him looking, and he's pointing usually at his heart, and you can see the heart aflame. And it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. And that really touched my heart when I was a little girl. And so it says here, I want to read it to you because, you know, I'm scatterbrained right now. Enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the home, which dedicates a family and its home to the Sacred Heart. Okay. It means formally recognizing Jesus as King of our lives through an enthronement ceremony. During this ceremony, a family places an image of the Sacred Heart in a place of honor in their home, renews their commitment to be faithful disciples, and consecrates themselves to His Sacred Heart. They are saying, with this enthronement, they are committing themselves to living according to Jesus' teachings and embracing a way of life rooted in His love, mercy, and blessings. And so, it has to be done. Let's see. There's some preparation, and there is a ceremony that is done in order to do that. And as a family, you perform the enthronement ceremony. And following the enthronement, you can continue to allow the Sacred Heart to reign in your home by practicing devotions, such as First Friday, etc., etc. I want to recommend to you that you go to the KnightsOfColumbus.org. Knights, like a, you know, a K-N-I-G. Okay, KnightsOfColumbus.org, and search for the enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I found it by typing in Knights of Columbus enthronement, and then it popped up. There's a PDF and a brochure. Actually, you can use it to tell you all about it. But the heart of Jesus is key to these times. His love for us, our returning and living in that love, and sharing that love with others. She said, Kathleen McCarthy said, enthroning Jesus in your home, making him truly the king of your home, puts grace in your home and protections in your home. So she said, please, please, I'm not suggesting it. I'm telling you, please do this, do this. All right. And then she went on to talk about the brown scapular and how we should wear it and be enrolled in, I don't know what you would call it, but it's not an organization, but it is a group who are, and it's tied to the Carmelites. Our Lady gave St. Simon Stock the brown scapular in July of 1251. He was a father general of the Carmelite order. And they are Carmelites dedicate their lives to prayer, deep, intense prayer. And so she gave that to him, and basically said that, she said to him, receive, my beloved son, the habit of your order. This shall be to you and all Carmelites a privilege, that whosoever dies clothed in this shall never suffer eternal fire. It shall be a sign of salvation, a protection in danger, and a pledge of peace. And Papa John, oh no, this is Pope John the 22nd. He stated in a papal letter he issued that the Blessed Virgin has said to him in a vision concerning those who wear the brown scapular, I, the Mother of Grace, shall descend on the Saturday after their death, and whomever I shall find in purgatory, I will free, so that I may lead them to the holy mountain of life everlasting. Okay. So, in other words, it's not a talisman, and it's not some kind of charm. It's not some kind of good luck piece. It is done as a commitment to God and to Our Lady. There are several spiritual blessings associated with it, and Pope Benedict, Saint Robert Bellarmine, Pius, many saints have said it's very important. And so go online and Google brown scapular. It's S-C-A-P-U-L-A-R, and learn about it and find out how to enroll yourself, wear it. As she said, don't leave home without it. Wear it at all times and never give it away to anyone else unless the Lord really lays it on your heart that that person needs it more than you at that moment. Okay, so do that. And, you know, there are a lot of different kinds of scapulars. Most of them are, you know, brown with made out of fabric. And some people wear them around their neck. Other people pin them inside their clothing. Whatever works for you. Okay. So, but please do this. You know, Kathleen is a mystic who sees things that are coming, and she is warning us, you know, and so did Father Blunt, that we are in dire times and we're going to be facing a lot in the future. And things usually have to get worse before they get better. So we need all of the tools that the Lord has given us through Holy Mother Church to protect us inspire us and to encourage us. So, so please do that. All right. And then I wanted to share with you one of the things that I've heard this before. A lot of miracles. Now, this was a healing retreat. Okay, a healing retreat. It was all about how to protect yourself, how to strengthen yourself, how to, through the grace of God, of course, always through Him, and how to, you know, pray for miracles and to expect miracles, because He is the God of miracles. He is the God of, He's a great physician. It's not just, no matter what you need, whenever we are prayed over or whenever we are prayed for, extraordinary grace comes from that, whether it's for your mind or your body or your soul. You might feel that you really need a physical healing. Something's wrong with your body. You're sick or whatever. But if you are prayed for and prayed over, and if you pray, no matter what, you're getting extraordinary grace. It might not be a physical healing, but He also said, and I've heard this before, most healings are not instantaneous. Most healings happen over time. And I'll share an example with you. On Sunday, this was the night after the healing service. Sunday we were at Mass. And there was a woman during the consecration and, the preparation for Holy Eucharist. She was sobbing. And a part of me was, you can't tell if it's in sorrow or in joy. And a part of me was thinking, I think this might be joy. But of course, I couldn't ask her till after Mass. And I turned around and I recognized the woman. She had was sitting directly behind me Saturday night during the whole healing service and everything. And she was standing there smiling ear to ear. And I said, was that you crying? She says, yes. I says, was it out of joy? And she says, oh, yes. And I said, I think you were sitting behind me last night. And she goes, I was. Let me tell you, folks, this woman had a cane and she was all bent up in pain, and she couldn't stand up on her own. She had to hold on to the back of my chair, and I would hold the chair down so she could support herself with the chair, and people would lift her up onto her feet. She was in that bad a shape. And she was standing in front of me Sunday morning after Mass, smiling from ear to ear, standing up straight. I mean, it was absolutely a miracle. And she explained to me that she had been coming for 4 years. The first year she was terminally in a wheelchair. And she asked the Lord to heal her enough to use a walker. And He did that year. She came back and she was happy with that. She came back the second year. And she asked Him, could you heal me from a wheelchair to crutches? And that happened. And she was thankful for that. She was grateful for what He was giving her, not total healing. Whatever He gave her what she asked for, which was not too much at one time. The third year she asked Him to heal her enough to use a cane instead of crutches. And He did that. And that's what she brought with her to this retreat. She had a cane, but she could hardly move. And she could hardly get up, as I said. She couldn't really on her own. So she asked Him to have mercy on her and let her leave the cane behind and not need that anymore. And it happened. 4 years it took, each in little increments. And I'm telling you, she looked 20 years younger. She was moving. She had no pain. She was moving around. I've seen this happen at Malvern before, at other retreats that were healing and weren't just Kathleen and Father Blunt's. I've seen evidence right in front of my eyes. And so some healings do not happen immediately. So if you are praying for a healing and you need a healing, it might come in increments. And it might be, and it could be any kind of healing of mind, body, and soul. So don't get discouraged. Most of them are over time. And, you know, while I was at that healing service on Saturday night, it came to me, blessed are they who haven't seen yet believe. Blessed are they who believe who haven't seen. Those in the future, you know, and I was sitting there, I was going, I bet there's a lot of healings happening in this room. I know the Lord gave me that. There's a lot of healings happening in this room that we can't see yet. We have to believe. We have to believe. Because it, I know it was. I know it was happening. And so I wanted to share with you a few prayer requests as a result of that. I met a young woman named Bella. She has ALS. And she got it at a young age. And she was there for healing, and she's beautiful, and we prayed with her, and I really feel encouraged about her. And so I'd ask you to pray for Bella, for her healing and all that she needs with ALS and her family. And Carol Ann, Carolina in Italian. She's grieving over her husband who died earlier this year. She's young, too. And she's really, really struggling with that. And she came along with her sister-in-law, her husband's sister, to Malvern. Her sister thought it would be good for her. And I know that it was. She met a young woman from Slovenia, I think it was. She had a blood relic of Padre Pio and gave it to her. People were all around her, talking with her, sharing with her, encouraging her, praying for her. And so keep her, Carol Ann, in her grief, in your prayers. And Danielle, she's a woman from Cameroon in Africa. She and her husband have been trying 12 years to have a child, and it hasn't worked. She was hoping and praying that as a result of being at this healing mass, and from the prayers and everything people were offering, that they would finally be able to have a child. And I did talk to her about how I was unable to have children, and that the Lord showed me the beauty of spiritual motherhood. And we're all called to be mothers in one way or the other, and that He may be calling her to that. And rejoice in it, because it's a good thing. So, and then I met a lawyer by the name of Christina, and she is in the process of discerning and praying for a change in her vocation. She still would be in law, but she's for a different vocation. So in the legal firm, there were a lot of young men there, obviously faithful, obviously deep in prayer, and obviously discerning vocations to the priesthood. Or maybe they've already decided to become priests. Or maybe it just came upon them while they were there, and now they're seeking the priesthood. So pray for them. There were quite a few of them, and there always are. And so, but there, I mean, I met so many other people, and we all need prayer. But it was such a joy-filled and heartbreaking. You know, you see people suffering and you want to be able to just be Jesus to them and walk over and just say, hey, be healed. Be healed. But it doesn't always work that way. You know? So you pray and you hope and you see some miracles and other miracles are happening that you don't see. But I just want to encourage you. The last thing, I better hurry up here. I went to a funeral today. A dear friend of mine and her husband, we've hung out together, everything. He basically died extremely suddenly. He had a tummy bug for a couple of days, and she went out to get him Gatorade and came back. He was dead. Absolute shock to everyone, including us. And I was at his funeral today. And, you know, Father Blunt said, none of us know when we are going to be called to go home to the Lord. None of us know the time. We better darn sure be prepared. And he said that, and I've heard that many times. Do not go another day without being prepared to meet the Lord, because you do not. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. Get to confession on a regular basis. And he said, develop a ravishing, intense delight for the Holy Eucharist. Go to Mass. Pray. Get right with God. Have a real relationship with Him. Quit putting it off. Don't end up in the wrong place or in purgatory for a long, long time. Get right with Him. No mediocrity in today's world, he says. We have to be real, devout, deep Christians. The world needs us to be. We need to be. And so let's do it. And also that will prepare us for when our time comes. God bless Linda and the family. And have mercy on Wayne. And I have to go. I'll talk to you next week. I love you. God bless you. Pray for me. I'm praying for you. Pray for the station. Take care.